And welcome in to the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keezer, intern Mark here with you on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody's off to a wonderful start of their day. Rex Road, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing just fine. Looks like we're heading toward, what, 100 or so?
It's going to be
next few days.
Pretty hot this week.
Got some high school football practices that are going to 6 a.m. this week, which I think is the right move.
Probably so.
Yep.
But getting those high school kids up early sometimes can be a challenge.
Yes. Thanks for letting me know.
Just thought I'd point that out to you.
Your I know time, you've never had, time's
any,
coming.
Never had any experience with that, but just thought I'd point that out to you.
Yeah, so I've heard.
Yeah. Geezer, how we doing? What's going on?
Morning. Lots of new faces helping us out at the game, so glad to get everybody
Keezer's in charge
up.
Of the interns.
Are you recruiting?
And he's doing some recruiting. That's what I'm talking about. Recruiting.
It honestly has felt a little bit like the college football game, Robbie, because you try to recruit, you try to get them in. Now that they're in, it's about making the experience worthwhile.
That's
you
right.
Know?
Yep, got to deliver on your promises.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. What's your sales pitch?
Like for our program or for any program?
Our program, whatever.
Whatever.
I mean, it's anytime you want to get a behind-the-scenes look of how something works in sports, that's usually something I kind of lead off with. Oh. And if someone's interested in learning how a show works in general, too, that's always different. And then if you enjoy sports, hey, you get to hang out with some folks that love it, too.
Hey, so. There you go. Is Keezer, would you say, a just high-level recruiter based on what he just told us?
I mean, it's like Butch Jones going brick by brick. I don't know how anybody turns that down.
I don't either.
The name of the game is offense, I guess.
That's Jeremy Pruitt. That's Pruitt. Whatever. Yeah,
but I'm trying to use my drop without actually using it.
Jeremy Pruitt brought in some good recruits, too.
Yeah. He was a very good recruiter.
He was.
You're not handing out cash in McDonald's bags, are you?
Maybe. So, start handing out some in here.
Yeah, I know. We have gotten McDonald's bags in here before, though.
We have. Yeah.
Been a minute, though. It has been a while.
That's a Saturday thing here.
That was
you guys
like an
missed
annual
that.
Thing. Oh, really?
What come in on Saturday?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know.
When I was a part-timer, when I got started, thank you, bud.
All right.
All the time.
All right, bud.
Okay, bud. I didn't realize bud was just going on Saturdays now.
Saturday?
Good to know.
Showing up. We got to get to Robbie and Rex Road, do a little bit extra work around here. Show up on Saturday. You'll get some stuff. Maybe so.
Probably got a moving day or cleaning day soon.
Probably so. Speaking of moving day, Malik Willis going to have to do that because he's no longer a member of the Tennessee Titans. Joe, do you get credit for a called shot here? I mean, we've brought this up.
Yeah, like who gets credit?
I don't know.
Who first brought it up?
I mean, the Packers quarterback situation is bad.
It probably was you.
Probably. But I think you may have offered Malik Willis as a solution. And here he is. Now, they've not said this, but I think the backup quarterback to Jordan Love with the Green Bay Packers. The Titans get a 7th-round pick back from Green Bay yesterday, and Malik Willis traded from the Tennessee Titans to the Green Bay Packers. Titans, at the moment, have 2 quarterbacks on their roster in Will Levis and Mason Rudolph. We'll see if it stays that way or if they go out and look to bring somebody else in as their 3rd quarterback and keep 3 quarterbacks on the roster. Do they keep 2 quarterbacks? We'll wait and see all that stuff. But what do you make of the Titans' decision to trade Malik Willis and to get back a 7th-round pick for him?
Yeah, well, getting something for him is good at this point and kind of speaks to – it's funny because I had a segment based on what Brian Callahan said yesterday that was like, it's pretty obvious they're moving on from Malik Willis based on – he kept talking about, you know, well, he put some good stuff on tape, you know. But they got something for him. That's not a bad thing. You know, good for – Malik, if he can be a QB2 there, I do wonder, is he just showing up and immediately – look, I mean, I haven't watched a lot of Sean Clifford. You have. I don't doubt that he's better than him, but also it's still stepping into a different offense. And, yeah, so I don't know. Is he just immediately QB2? Either way, hopefully it'll be a better, you know, possibility for him to – again, that's what you want to do if you're him. I mean, that's the realistic hope – for him is, you know, solidify yourself in this league, and if he can be a good QB2, that's good. And then for the Titans, yeah, I think that they'll get another QB who will probably be stashed away in the practice squad would be my guess. I mean, they'll find a young QB, and they'll put him on the practice squad, and you know, they have someone young to develop, like a Jake Browning in Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. You know, from the Willis standpoint, you know, the Packers drafted Sean Clifford last year in the fifth round. So, I mean, it's not a high pick, but it's not exactly like a seventh round pick either. Fifth round pick last year, he actually played pretty well in the preseason last year, and you felt decent about him heading into camp. And he's just been terrible. Like, he's been absolutely atrocious in joint practices, everyday practices, preseason games. They drafted Michael Pratt from Tulane in the seventh round this year. So the general thinking is that now that Willis is in there, it's going to be Love, Willis, and then Pratt as the third guy. We'll see. I mean, it's a fifth-round pick from a year ago, so it's pretty early to dump a guy, but he has been atrocious. So it does look like Willis is about to get a QB2 opportunity, which I wondered whether or not that would be the case.
Yeah.
Looks like it will be.
Yeah, so, I mean, good for him. You know, the Packers, well, they're like a lot of teams. I mean, whether it's him or whether it's Sean Clifford, you know, they would be in the boat of teams that if you lose your starting quarterback, you are absolutely screwed. You know, and again, like, I will say, with Malik Willis, I think he's gotten better. And I think, I mean, we've seen him even here when he was so limited as a rookie. I mean, the Titans almost, did they ever win any games with him at QB?
Malik? Yeah, they won one.
What was that one?
On the road at Houston. They won that game.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I think they handed off to Derrick Henry approximately 50
times. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, in fact, that was his first time.
I think it was his first start.
Yeah, so, you know, like, you can cobble together something with him, but obviously he's not going to be among the better backups in the league. Better than Sean Clifford? Hey, if that's what it takes, then, you know, that's what it takes. But, you know, here there was no real competition. He was going to be, you know, whatever we were going to find out. We'll never know. I guess, does this tell us? Does this tell us the Titans were going to cut him? I don't know. I guess we can't really say for sure, right?
Can't say for sure, but
I mean, probably.
Probably, yeah.
And then just hope. And then, you know, maybe see if he could clear waivers. But, hey, I mean, I guess maybe the Packers were going to sign him if it got to them.
Yeah.
So, Packers said, screw that. Let me just give you a seventh and we'll just take him.
One thing I wonder is, like, did the Packers, I don't know if catch wind is the right word, but were the Packers convinced that someone before them in the waiver claim order was going to get him? Which I think is a possibility.
So, how about that? A little bit of a demand for Malik Willis.
Yeah.
I mean, look, he's – he's a talented guy. Like, Malik Willis, as a solid backup QB in the NFL, is not some outlandish idea. I think he's working toward that. So, and he's young, and, you know, there's definitely a lot of talent there. Good, I mean, good guy to have in your room, in your building. So, good for him as long as he's okay going to Green Bay, Wisconsin.
It's going to be pretty cold up there, man.
Yeah. Right now, it'll be okay.
I'll say hi to him in less than 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, I saw, you know.
Is he going to be the holder?
I don't know. I saw TD put out two. He's like, Malik, the Packers in Nashville. Like, eyeball emoji. I'm like, oh, Malik Willis will be here.
I get back-to-back weeks of watching Malik Willis do whatever he's going to do. Right. One in Lambeau, one here.
Watch him be dressed in a uniform. Yes. We'll see that.
Liam says, why am I 90% sure Malik Willis comes in here and wins week 3? Must be our long and illustrious history of losing to bad quarterbacks like Ryan Leaf. Don't wish that on me, first off. We need Jordan Love to stay healthy. It'd be great.
But what if Malik Willis wins the game? You could still be happy about that, right?
I still need Jordan Love to stay healthy.
Yeah, true. Well, what if he beats him out by then? Who knows?
We don't know, good. You know? we've given the money to the wrong person. Yeah.
Jordan, we believe in you. It'll eventually work out, but we're going Malik.
Lenny on the text line says they were definitely going to release Malik.
I think that's probably true, but the bet that Robbie and I had, we can never be resolved because we don't know.
Yeah.
We do not know.
An extra slice of pizza. Don't know what the answer is. So do you think, did the Titans get enough back for him? Because, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a different regime. It's a guy that has been here, you've been developing for the last 3 years, and he was a third-round pick that it's now turned into a seventh-round pick. So, like, from a traditional, just simple viewpoint of asset management, it doesn't seem great. But, I mean, we've kind of seen that he was drafted way too high for where he was supposed to be. So, Do you think the Titans, based on their quarterback situation and based on whether or not they were about to cut him, I have no idea if they were or weren't. But the situation we talked about yesterday, maybe in a year, he's good enough to be your backup quarterback. Did the Titans get enough back in return in your mind with the seventh round pick?
Yeah, I mean, at this point, yes. At this point, sure. Obviously, it's a mistake. But look, that whole draft, like when people tell you it's a bad quarterback draft, believe them, because I think Zappe just got cut. Like it's just a complete zero goose egg draft.
That one might be the worst one of all time.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it. I can't think of anything. I'm sure randomly it's like, oh, no, you forgot about 2007 or something. But I just can't remember a draft where there were people saying there's not a first-round QB, potentially, and really there was no one, now that we can see, like there was no one who should have gone anywhere close to the first round.
I mean, like Purdy's the one guy from that draft.
Well, that's true. I guess Purdy would be the guy who should have.
There, right. But he's – I mean, you're talking. I think he's literally the only one that hasn't been cut or moved at this point, which is wild.
Yeah, and again, it's the last regime, so you know, it is what it is. But that was just a few months after being the one seed, and you have a third round pick, and you decide to do this.
Yep.
I mean, it was obviously an early indication of Ryan Tannehill's disastrous day. Changing a lot of minds in that building, but at that point, you still, if you're not going to make a big move for a sure thing, then you help the guy who's still at quarterback be great around him, which is what Vrabel said, and then they did not follow through with
their
actions.
They did the opposite. 615-737-1025, our phone number. Malik Willis traded from the Titans to the Packers. We'll take your reaction to that on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
How much he had obviously a great camp of preseason. How much you paid for a guy like that?
Yeah, I mean, he was playing about as good a football as you could ask of a guy. He's really coming on strong and playing a really good brand of football for us. And heartbroken for him. He was doing everything we asked of him and doing it really well. So disappointed for him, disappointed for us, but that's the way it goes sometimes.
That's Brian Callahan yesterday. We'll get to the Chance Campbell stuff coming up here in just a few minutes. Taking your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Malik Willis traded from the Titans to the Green Bay Packers. Ben on the text line says, as a third quarterback, Malik easily replaceable, and if he's hard to replace, then he's tradable. He was a flyer pick. Let's get another flyer pick in return. This is the text I sent yesterday, and y'all even mentioned the Packers. You listen to this program, right. You're going to end up smarter at the end of the day.
Let me tell you what's going to happen.
That's
folks.
What we can promise you.
Okay, we're pretty much always right with any prediction, I think, if as I recall.
The hit rate, about 99%.
Something like that. I don't even remember what we missed, but, you know, it was probably something – small.
Yep.
Like, Vrabel's not getting fired, idiots. Duh.
Or, yeah, the Titans are not getting Julio Jones. You guys can just calm down right now.
Or, I mean, if they don't get two first-round picks for Vrabel, blown opportunity.
Or maybe the GOAT. Josh Heupel. Who is that? That's a horrible hire.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
But other than that, we've done pretty well.
Yeah, I think, yeah. So, but still, then there's thousands of perfect dead-on ones that still make it 99%.
Like Yaroslav Skarov.
Well, that there you go. Is that a flyer pick, third-round pick? I don't know if it's a flyer pick.
I don't know.
The definition of – I mean, I suppose
it should
it's like
be.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah, you could look at it like they're like, well, let's see if he's good. It's kind of taking a flyer. But, again, it's third-round pick. Like – For a guy who, by the way, some people had as QB1 in that draft and as a first-round pick.
Well, not a day before the draft, people were talking about him going number two overall.
Yeah, my goodness. But, I mean, that's this league. It's like every draft there's got to be some teams that are like, we must have an answer at quarterback, so we will take whatever is there.
Right.
You know? And that year was just a bad year. But third-round pick. That is a – I think we've done this before, looked around there, like what else could they have done. But, I mean, there's – you can go into the fourth and fifth round and find players who are helping teams. You know, that's what you should have done there. But they got a seventh back.
They did. They got a seventh back. Lance on the text line. How did 31 general managers miss that bad on Brock Purdy? 3.5 year starter, 12,000 plus yards, almost a 3-to-1 touchdown interception ratio.
Yeah.
He's very good.
Well, look,
he's going to get paid a lot of money. He also is in a fantastic situation. And I'm not trying to take much away from him. I am trying to take some. But I'm not trying to take much away from him. I think he's a good player. But he's in a very, 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 very good situation.
Well, listen, and this is part of the story there, of course, got completely blown up because of the stupid C.J. Stroud situation. But the S2 cognition test was one of the things where he was extraordinary. And, you know, again, it's just like testing your brain in the 40, you know? I mean, basically, and in the shuttle and all these other little things, and he was elite. So that is another test that helps even if someone doesn't have the measurables, and he didn't. That's why, because he doesn't have the measurables. That's why Tom Brady went where he went. That's why Kirk Cousins went in the fourth round. You know, I mean, I value athleticism at quarterback too. Like, I would be very intrigued to take like an Anthony Richardson because it's like he can do things other people can't do. But it's still not as important as the things that those three guys I just mentioned. And I bet you if Cousins and Brady took that thing, they'd dominate it too. So that is a tool that people should use and respect, even though a team and their dirtbag owner decided to release false information about C.J. Stroud to help their own draft pick look better.
Yep.
What a story.
I'm looking at that 2022 draft class just with quarterbacks. I mean – it's just – I mean, Kenny Pickett has already been traded. Desmond Ridder down in Atlanta. Obviously, Malik Willis. Matt Corral, who I don't even think is in the league anymore. If he is, maybe he just got back in camp this year. Bailey Zappi. Sam Howell. Brock Purdy at the end of it. Not very good.
That's toughy, man. That's toughy. So, by the way, I guess is this confirmation then that Joe Milton – will be retained by the Patriots as their third QB? I mean, is that?
I would assume so.
I mean, I suppose anyone like that could still be exposed to try to practice squad him, but.
Are you saying there's a chance that old Joe could end up down here?
Well,
Titans need another third quarterback.
Well, what? Maybe the Lions. Maybe
man.
He and Hendon could be reunited with the Lions.
Yeah.
JC, you guys predict correctly 102.5% of the time. Yes,
we do.
That's right.
Yes, we do. Josh from Cookeville, I wonder which non-first-round quarterback has the most wins that's been drafted by the Titans. My guess would be Billy Volek. The Titans don't have any luck drafting outside of the first round for quarterbacks. I hope Will Levis can change that. They don't have a ton of luck drafting in the first round with quarterbacks either.
Right.
Just saying.
I mean, basically, Steve McNair.
Yeah. He's the one.
Yeah.
Vince did not go overly well. Jake Locker certainly did not go well, and neither did Marcus. So it's not gone very well, really, regardless of where the quarterbacks have been drafted. It's
been about 30 years. Yeah.
So you are hoping, you know, Levis, the first pick of round two, can be the outlier. I mean, it kind of feels, I said this before, feels like Titans are kind of due at quarterback with one of these picks to hit at some point.
So maybe the second round is the charm. Texter here, I don't know if you're being serious, Texter. I know that this was one of the dumb things that Stillman threw out there just as a dumb guess. He says, we all know Vrabel told Stroud to tank that test so he'd fall in the draft. I hope you're kidding, being sarcastic. If you're not, no, that's not what happened. That's not at all what happened. Vrabel did not tell C.J. Stroud to tank the test. C.J. Stroud did not intentionally tank the test. He took the test halfway on a day that he was exhausted, and then he took it again, and he did fine. That's what actually happened.
Trey from Antioch wants us to stop it with the Vol homerism, I guess, going back to Joe Milton.
Yes, we were being very serious, Trey, about Joe Milton should be the best QB in the NFL within 5 years.
I mean,
if you can't see that, Trey, then I can't help you, buddy.
All we said was he's the third quarterback in New England.
So sorry to bring him up.
Yeah.
By the way, Hendon Hooker, since we're talking about Vols QBs, is, I think, pretty solidly QB2 in Detroit.
Yeah.
So good for him.
Yeah, good for him. I, in all seriousness, I wish Malik well. I don't, you know, he's the backup quarterback, so he's not going to play unless something disastrous happens. But, you know, I heard – Brady Quinn talking about this yesterday, and he was talking about how, like, just the – it's easy when things don't go your way early in your career, and then you were drafted in the third round, and they immediately the next season drafts a quarterback in the second round. It's easy to mentally really struggle with that. And by all accounts, like, Malik Willis put in all the work he needed to put in and was a great teammate. You know, Jeffrey Simmons was tweeting about it yesterday. Packers getting a good one on and off the field. Like, he clearly was well-liked among his teammates and has gotten better. I mean, we talked about that a lot yesterday. Like, he's clearly improved from last season to this season. So I don't know ultimately what this is going to mean for him in his NFL career. Like, can he latch on as, whether it's in Green Bay or elsewhere moving forward, as like a guy that turns into a pretty good backup quarterback in the league, which I think is probably his ceiling at this point. Can he do that? Because if you can, and you can carve out a nice career for yourself being a good backup quarterback in the league. So
great life.
I'm rooting for Malik Willis. Hope he does well, but I'm interested to see what this is going to mean for him now moving forward and now where the Titans go from here at the quarterback position.
Yeah. I mean, based on everything we've seen, he has – everything that's happened, he comes in, like you said, they draft over him almost immediately. Then he's like – he's actually in a competition with Will Levis a year ago. It's what's funny to think about, you know.
He technically won.
Yeah, well, I mean, they like, day after day with those two in camp, it was actually, like, pretty close. I mean, you know, Levis is a rookie. And then eventually you could see the difference and all that stuff. But, yeah, I mean, I think he'll just keep working and getting better. And it's just a matter of, like, how much better can he get? How much more is there? But I think he can be a long-term backup in the NFL.
615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on Malik Willis. Rex Road has also done a deep dive into Bill Callahan's life, legacy, and football history. We'll get into that coming up next as well. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road has a new article at TheAthletic.com.
Yeah!
I always feel fancy now every time I read it because it's now nytimes.com/athletic.
New York Times.
New York Times getting in there.
Thank you.
So, yep. Yet another shameless plug from Joe Rexroad.
Rexroad moving up in the world. Really extensive piece you've done here on Bill Callahan, kind of his history here. Before I just sit here and start to explain it, I'll let the person who wrote it explain it. What did you put together on Bill Callahan as we are now less than 2 weeks away from Bill Callahan and the offensive line's debut here with the Tennessee Titans?
Yeah. Well, and for our audience's purposes, you know, a lot of this story, I had this idea of, you know, when they hired him. Honestly, so for me, I did not even realize this. So when the Titans brought him in, and, you know, it's like, okay, you know, obviously you knew Bill Callahan, great offensive. You knew him as the Raiders head coach and all the stuff that happened there after Gruden. You knew him as the Nebraska head coach, and some Nebraska fans still think that he destroyed their program, and it's, which is a little bit hyperbole, but that's what some Nebraska fans think. I did not realize that, you know, his offensive line coach journey really started. He had done it previously, but it really started with Wisconsin. So I was like, that's fascinating, because if you're of a certain age and you love college football, and this is probably especially Big Ten. You know, back in the day, 30 years ago, I guess 35 years ago, the Big Ten was, like, basically Northwestern and Wisconsin were the co-Vanderbilts of the Big Ten, okay? Like, you know you're going to beat those two teams. They are total crap. They're, like, it's, like, embarrassingly bad football. And what Barry Alvarez did there is incredible, and it's still the same thing. And the thing is, their program identity is still big offensive linemen who dominate. I mean, Joe Thomas is the biggest. But they've had, since Bill Callahan got there as O-line coach for Barry Alvarez, they've had, I think, 33 first-round picks at offensive line. Think about that. That's basically a first-rounder a year. That's just first round. So I was fascinated by that. Like, wow. Like, not only did he launch his career to eventually it goes up to head coach, but it comes back to he's a great offensive line coach, right? He's one of the greatest ever. But Wisconsin is still like the same football because of that. So anyway, that's what the story is, a lot of that. It's a lot about those days, and there's a lot of – I mean, I love these stories, talking to all these linemen who played for Callahan. He's, you know, he's like – he's making them do drills to keep their heads out of the drill. He said, okay, take your helmet off. Problem is, the guys they're blocking, the defensive linemen, still have their helmets on.
Yes.
And the guy's like, yeah, we broke our nose a few times, but we learned. It's like, I mean, like, stuff you can't do anymore in football. Like, So it was a very fun story. But I thought for our audience, what was really interesting, see, the questions have been so – it's been constant since he got here. Why is he so good?
Right.
What makes him so good? Okay, so why is he Gandalf the Wizard of offensive linemen, right? And obviously it's like years of doing it, and he's been mentored by like all the great line coaches, all this stuff.
He developed Olga and Bertha, big part of it.
Well, yeah, he's an innovator. I mean, that's the thing, right? Like, he's an innovator, but there's a couple quotes here that I think are really interesting. One, Lloyd Cushenberry, quote on Bill Callahan, quote, "He's a genius. It's a constant quest with him. Every single play, every single blocking assignment, all the way to the smallest details, he's harping on all of it," end quote. But when I talked to Brian Callahan, that's where it was really, you know, again, it's like I'm doing it for this story, but at that time I'm like, man, I wish I could just take this out and just write a column about it now because it's interesting on its own, but I use it in this story.
Yep.
He's like, basically, Brian Callahan was like, look, I mean, I've been watching film with my dad since we had video cassettes and I was like a teenager in the summer. He's watching, and so I get it. But when you don't work with him, it's still different than now that you work with him. You're like, whoa. So here's a quote from Brian Callahan about Bill Callahan. Quote, "The amount of work he can process and get done is, I've not seen anything like him. And that's me talking as a football coach, not his son. How he grades practices, every rep, every foot placement, every hand placement, there's pluses and minuses on all of it. I mean, everything is cataloged on every guy. I knew how he did it, but seeing it in action, it's crazy," end quote. I was like, yeah, that's a good quote.
So he's kind of a maniac in a good way.
I mean, yeah, I mean, basically, like, he is, I mean, you know, you always talk about the paralysis by analysis, or you don't want to overload players. But, you know, some coaches are fine overloading themselves.
Yep.
I mean, it's obviously he has this extreme – and we heard it. They go back to the combine, right? Like Rand Carthon and those guys talking about, like, all the assistants – or everybody's like, whoa, look at this guy. But it's like whenever you see something like this, you're always like, so why doesn't everybody else do it then, right?
Right.
But I'm not sure that most people would want to do this stuff.
Like, they have the capacity to do
like
it.
Turning it into trigonometry, you know, but it works for him. Now, his quote, Bill Callahan, quote, "I'm not sure it's a secret sauce. It's just being smart about what each player can do," end quote. But again, like, the depth of like every little movement and how that player, oh, he's bad at this. Okay. So like, then you're putting this whole puzzle together of what they're doing with each guy, knowing their strengths and weaknesses, all that stuff. It's pretty fascinating. And it's going to be interesting. I mean, if the Titans have a good offensive line this year, of course that'll have to do with drafting Latham. But, of course, that also has to do with Bill Callahan, right?
Yep.
But it'll have to do with talent and improving the talent and some guys just working or maybe getting lucky and staying healthy. But yeah, it's going to have quite a bit to do with this guy. I mean, it's pretty interesting. And, again, it's a fascinating story, not only with constant part, but – just the fact that, for people who don't know, I mean, he was the head coach of the Raiders there the night of the Super Bowl. Like, they're the underdog, but I thought it would be a good Super Bowl. And their starting center goes AWOL, goes to Mexico, and it turns out that he has serious, you know, issues, but, like, completely blew up their game. I mean, they had to, you know, they had to put in the backup, and he was a really good player. He was, like, one of their leaders. So that was kind of like, I mean, he's a head coach for the Super Bowl. By the way, also, and this didn't get into this, but, like, there's so much of his career. I mean, right after the Super Bowl, Tim Brown and Jerry Rice were saying they thought he threw the Super Bowl because he was Gruden's, like, assistant. And it was like – and then, and then, like, 2 days later, they're like, nah, just kidding. Yeah, we're not. But it's like, really? You threw the Super – yeah, you threw the Super Bowl so John Gruden could win. Like, yeah. Think about how dumb that is.
I know I could win, but I want John to win.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
Right, yeah. Because, you know, they didn't like the game plan or whatever. I mean, and then Nebraska, fascinating too. You know, the West Coast offense coming to Nebraska
yeah.
after decades of nothing like the West Coast offense.
Tommy Frazier
didn't work out. Yeah, exactly. So, but it's quite a coaching career. And then, of course, now this is sort of the I would assume this is sort of the swan song here with his kid.
I would assume so too. And like you said, I mean, if the Titans have a good offensive line this year, we're gonna go a lot of the credit deservedly is gonna go back to him. Specifically on that. How good is Dylan Radins this year? How good is Petit Frere this year? Skoronski, like is Skoronski taking a massive jump? Like the Latham part of this, yes, it goes back to Callahan because he clearly wanted him, but like we've not seen Latham play at in the NFL prior to Callahan getting here. One of the things that's going to be really interesting, like how much better does Dylan Radins look with Bill Callahan coaching? How much better is Nicholas Petit Frere with Bill Callahan coaching him? And we're going to start to find out the answer to that pretty quickly.
And again, and some of the way things have gone, let's remember, like there was a time during camp where it's like, man, shouldn't they think about Radins at right tackle? Like look at the right tackle situation. Well, go all the way back months ago. Bill Callahan's like, you're a guard. Thanks. Yep. We'll work on that. And now it kind of looks like maybe that was smart.
They've clearly from the jump, I mean, a guy that's not a starter right now, they've clearly from the jump taken a different approach with Brunskill too and did not want him playing right guard for them.
Right, exactly. I mean, he's basically he's probably their sixth offensive lineman in general, but obviously he's going to be an interior guy, but like he's a backup center, or a fullback now, as we saw the other day.
Yeah.
But look, just like Charles Robinson told us with Latham, so who's the other line coach in the NFL that people would say is elite and like going to be remembered as an all-timer? It's Jeff Stoutland, and they had a Pro Bowl grade on J.C. Latham. So it's a pretty big hire. I mean, it's a pretty big deal to get that guy in here. And it's one position group of your team, but I think around here when that position group has been so bad, and you realize what that can do to a team, a coaching tenure, an offensive coordinator tenure, a GM, a franchise, quarterback. Yeah, it's kind of important.
No doubt about it. You can check it out at theathletic.com, Rex Rhodes piece on Bill Callahan. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. The cuts have to be made today. 3 o'clock today is when the cuts are due. What is it going to look like for the Titans? Could there be any surprises coming? We'll get into all that coming up next. Caroline Fenton will join us at 7 o'clock. Talk a little college football. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Caroline Fenton from Yahoo Sports will join us at 7 o'clock. Getting some college football with her. Week one coming up this week in college football. As we know, Jared clamoring for another game in week zero. Didn't get it.
There were other games. But, yes, there was one primo game for week zero. I guess we could have used another primo game. Although, actually, that wasn't even supposed to be a primo game, by the way.
It really wasn't.
It just turned out that way.
Yeah.
But it was at least a power
four.
Somebody said power three the other day.
Who are you leaving out? The ACC or the Big 12?
I don't know. That's a good question. Big 12's trying to get UConn. Will that make
are
them
they?
Oh, yeah. Big 12 is hot after UConn for the hoops.
Sure, so, why not?
Yeah, sure. UConn and the Big 12 totally makes sense. But, yeah, the power four conference game, and it turned out to be awesome. We could use another one. But we're gonna get our fill Saturday. I'm already lining up,
Oh yeah.
Lining up the day.
Yep. I'm looking forward to that. We'll get into that more with Caroline coming up at 7 o'clock. It is roster cutdown day, not only for the Titans, but across the league. 3 o'clock today. Gotta have the cuts made. Some have already started to trickle out, both with the Titans and elsewhere. Any surprises that you anticipate today for the Titans? By the way, we know that Chance Campbell, which, by the way, just awful. Chance Campbell tears his ACL. We talked about his reaction yesterday where he's throwing the helmet, hoping that it wasn't anything overly serious, and it was, in fact, very serious. And a guy that was a standout in preseason and in training camp for the Titans, that the poor guy just can't stay healthy at this point. It's a rough go for Chance Campbell.
Yeah, it's a rough go because he was playing. He has every time he's played with the Titans, like in camp, I've noticed him. We've talked about it before with TD. It's like, you know, you can see the guy can play. But this year he took another step. I mean, he was pushing to – I mean, look, I was interested to even just see how things worked out, if he could, you know, make a run at like Jack Gibbons, you know,
yep.
And maybe work with Kenneth Murray. But certainly reliable backup, quality backup, special – all this, you know, and a guy who finally was kind of breaking through as an NFL player, and then this happens to him. And it's the biggest reason by far. There's not a close second why NFL careers don't work out, because the nature of this game blows the body up, you know. But just some people are more prone to it than others, and obviously he's got a thing with the knees, and it's too bad for him.
Too bad for him. So on the roster front, there's another – you know, we talked about waiver spots yesterday. Titans, I think, are seventh on the waiver wire. Could that be a position that they take a look at? When you factor in Campbell is out, Cedric Gray has apparently a nerve injury in the shoulder, and there's no timetable as to when he'll be back. There's Gibbons and Murray there, which are going to be your starters. I mean, there's some questions about those guys anyway, even though Murray in particular has had a good camp. So I wonder – if that could be a position, maybe the Titans take a look at adding somebody at today. I mean, you got, you know, guys in-house as well. You know, Otis Reese could fill a spot there. But could the Titans look there today? Any other moves or surprises you think could be coming from the Titans today as it relates to their roster, knowing that, of course, Malik Willis, as we discussed, has already been traded to this point?
Yeah, the Rams are shopping Ernest Jones, and he could schematically fit the Titans. So could the Titans end up with, you know, two
new contract
two LA linebackers from the two different franchises coming here? I mean, there's like something like that's out there. You know, they have a glut. Obviously the Cedric Gray thing is also one of the most concerning things about the week that you heard, you know, the nerve shoulder thing. I mean, that's — and then basically no timeline given by Brian Callahan. That's
not good.
That's not good. So, I mean, you certainly can just count him out this year, I would think, right? Like, I mean, even if he were to at some point get past that, get healthy, I mean, he didn't have camp. So,
well, he's down the depth chart now. I mean, I know Campbell got hurt, and that's a blow to the depth chart in general, but he's so far down it right now that I don't know that he'd ever play.
Yeah, so he's not a non-factor long-term because he's a fourth-round pick, but he's a non-factor this year. Yeah, it's – you know, so you have Reese is in concussion protocol, and I do think that – I don't think – you know, like there's a – Chance Campbell has been sort of like one of the stars of camp, but I think Otis Reese is also a guy with some real potential. James Williams has a ton of potential. Now, yeah. Where will it go? I don't know. You know, sometimes you see that. You'll see somebody who can fly around and make plays, but it doesn't mean that they're going to be, you know, good at that job, you know, and someone reliable you can put on the field. And I wouldn't think this year you would. So, yeah. I mean,
that's Spencer Rattler. He's got a tattoo of James Williams on his chest now from that game the other day.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. He'll make some plays in special teams, I bet, this year that are like that too. But, yeah, Campbell gave you that, you know, you kind of felt good about your next guy. And it's the third linebacker is so important. Even at that spot where there's a lot of, you know, a lot of plays, a lot of packages where the inside linebackers are limited, it still was nice to have that. So that is possible. I still think D-line is also a place where the Titans could look to pick somebody up. I think edge too, but it's like what of quality is going to be available out there that, you know, I have my doubts about that. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see them pick somebody up on the defensive side of the ball.
Let me ask you
even an offensive lineman, but I mean that's the same deal. Anybody has anybody functional, they're probably not letting them go.
So I feel pretty good about five corners for sure making it. And that's, you know, obviously the three obvious ones: Snead, Awuzie, McCreary. Brownlee is going to make the team, obviously. And Judy Lolly. I feel pretty good about those five. After that, I don't know. Like Trey Avery, I would not describe his camp as very good. And I will say this. Number one, it's good to see him on the field the other day. Caleb Farley got back on the field. And number two, made a heck of a play on the kickoff coverage.
He did.
And he popped that guy.
Oh, I know.
Now, I still have questions, like, you know, based on his body and the way things have gone for him. Like, in Caleb Farley, when you're giving him reps, stay healthy for more than, like, 2 weeks in a row? I don't know. I have no idea what the answer to that is. Do you think there's a chance that he's making the team today on the 53-man roster?
Yes, I do. You know, I think so. I'm trying to think. I think that 4-3 is guaranteed, right?
I believe that is correct.
So that's part of it. But yeah, look, especially if they feel like he can help on special teams. Yeah, I think there is a chance. And like you said, Avery has struggled. Like, look, if you had to go down the depth chart and play somebody, I'd still feel a lot more comfortable playing Trey Avery than Caleb Farley right now.
I would agree.
But you also obviously hope you don't have to go that far. So, and then there's the money factor. And look, is there also a sentimental bump? Yeah, is there a sentimental factor here? Not just all that he's been through, which is obviously significant. I mean, it's incredible. It's awful. But also, I mean, he is a guy who he brings juice. I mean, you know, he's an energy. Just, you know, he's an inspirational guy, you know, and who still, by the way, there is still quite a bit of talent in there. It's just a matter of, like, will his body ever let him, you know, actually right. show that? It's kind of like we're talking about Chance Campbell. Some guys are just going to get hurt, and you fear that for him too. But, yeah, I think he's probably one of the most interesting stories of today because you could definitely make a case to keep him. And now we know we don't have to speculate right now about whether Malik Willis has taken up a spot or not. We know that's not the case. And again, I think they'll sign someone to be a third QB who will be on the practice squad is what I well, like that's what I think how it'll eventually end up. But maybe there's an extra spot. Could they go Farley and Avery?
Could be. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Kyle. Kyle, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey guys. Yeah, it sucks about the Dance Campbell injury, but I think that third linebacker to step up could be James Williams. I think he's catching on pretty quick. He's learning. He's going to make some errors and miss some holes and everything, but I really like him. But I've got a question about the waiver wire. I wonder, is it like fantasy draft? Like, once you pick up someone off the waiver wire, you go to the back of the line, or do the Titans stay at number 7 and everybody before 6 has to – or after 6 has to go through the Titans?
Yep. Thanks for the call, Kyle. Appreciate it. So he's saying, like, basically, if they claim somebody, does the waiver do they get put back to, like, the back of the waiver wire since they've claimed somebody at that point, or everybody going through, or the Titans just at 7? I think was his question as it relates to the waiver wire.
I'm pretty dumb, obviously, but it just goes in order.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess he's saying, like, if the Titans claim somebody,
uh-huh.
Does that change the order for everybody else if they get a guy? But I think it's just they're at 7.
Yeah.
For everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, there you go.
Okay. I think I don't know. I don't know if I understand what was asked there. I mean, I know you've tried to explain it to me. But
I tried to lay it out there for you.
Sorry.
I think that's what. 615-7.
They're number 7. I don't know. There's 1, 2, 3.
4, 5, 6, 7. Caroline
Nick's
Fenton.
Telling us we have to go to break now.
We'll join us. He's bossing us around there.
Yeah, stop bossing us around.
Caroline Fenton will join us coming up next. We'll get into some college football with our Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.